For the past few decades, New Hampshire's timber industry has been selling its wood scraps to be burned for energy. But now, after 2 years of failed subsidies, the state's small biomass power plants are shutting down. It's left the industry wondering, what else will they do with all that wood? In the second half of our series on biomass, NHPR's Annie Ropeek looks at some innovative new uses for wood and whether those new markets could work in New Hampshire.
The biggest piece of forest that Tom Thompson owns is on the side of a mountain in western New Hampshire, bordering the Appalachian Trail. In full fall splendor, this property looks more like a state park than a tree farm.
That's a perfect spot to try to find a moose in. Yeah, and the colors are just about perfect right there.
A gravel trail for hikers and snowmobiles snakes through the forest, past bogs, ponds, and mountain overlooks. But make no mistake, this is a working forest. Thompson, the son of former Governor Meldrum Thompson, bought it more than 30 years ago from a paper company. They were moving overseas, leaving mostly low-value, unhealthy trees behind. Thompson says restoring this forest into a healthy ecosystem involved routine harvesting of all kinds of wood.
When you plant vegetables in your garden and you just walked away from them, you'd be lucky if they produced hardly at all. And that's exactly the way it happens in our forest.
Landowners like Thompson say healthy forest management means clearing dead or broken trees and limbs to let better timber grow. In New Hampshire, that so-called junk wood makes up about two-thirds of the volume harvested and contributes about 10% of the revenue. That's not much, but folks like Thompson say it's vital to keeping forests profitable and intact. Thompson was left with a lot of junk wood after the region's catastrophic ice storm in 1998. He's been having it harvested ever since, but right now he can't get any loggers to come in.
And would that be different if the biomass plants were healthier?
Oh, yeah. If we had the biomass plants up and running, there wouldn't be any issue.
The biomass plants are six small wood chip burning power plants that were built across the state in the 80s during an era of oil embargoes and political interest in energy independence. Thompson says the plants were the ideal local market for millions of tons of junk wood over the years.
Folks went out and mortgaged everything they had to get into that industry. And, you know, now we're faced with, what do they do with it?
Watch your step on this.
Across the state border in Orono, Maine, university researchers are looking at just that question. A decade ago, Maine's timber and construction industries were hit hard by the recession. But since then, the state's government and its timber and economic advocates have focused heavily on attracting federal and private money to develop new products using wood and wood scraps.
This is always kind of interesting to look at. This particle board is 100% wood.
No formaldehyde, no glue.
Ben Herzog is a wood technologist at the University of Maine's Advanced Structures and Composites Center. Researchers here are developing new kinds of wood building materials, like particle board held together with an adhesive that itself is made from wood. This cuts down on the toxic chemicals used to make traditional particle board. Another product is called mass timber, thick, strong wood panels made out of layers of lumber and sometimes wood chips. It's seen as a climate and city-friendly alternative to steel and concrete. New Hampshire's first mass timber building is currently going up on the seacoast.
So that's mass timber.
Yep.
What else you got?
Well, we got all kinds of stuff.
Shane O'Neill, the school's forest industry business development manager, is a busy guy. UMaine is working with the military to make blast-resistant shelters and portable bridges out of wood. They're combining wood with plastic to make more durable docks and decking. They're crafting huge wind turbine blades out of balsa wood from overseas. They're even developing a chemical process to turn wood chips into crude oil. Then there's the cellulose, a wood pulp so fine that researchers say its uses are almost endless. Wood cellulose can feed 3D printers or make insulation. It can thicken paints and food, make car parts and cell phone screens. It could even be used in medicine to create synthetic bones and nerves. Colleen Walker heads the UMaine Center focused on nanocellulose and says it's a serious potential alternative to plastic.
We like to emphasize that it is nature-made. I just like to say it's always been there, but we've just learned how to extract it and really manipulate it because there wasn't really the tool set available in the scientific community to look at the nanoscale before.
It's interesting you use the phrase, like, nature-made.
Yeah.
It was always there because that does bring to mind fossil fuels for me. So
yes.
How is this preferable?
Because it's renewable.
That's the biggest environmental argument for making all these products with scraps of wood that would otherwise stay in the forest. They can offset the use of industrial materials like plastic, concrete, and steel that do more to drive global warming. And most of these wood products continue to hold in their carbon while the forest they come from regrows, doubling their benefit. New Hampshire's Economic Affairs Commissioner Taylor Caswell says that this kind of innovation holds promise for the state's timber sector.
There is a growing need for technology in that industry and the workforce development as well. So all those pieces really flow together, and I do think there's a regional aspect here that we're hoping to be able to really take advantage of.
He thinks the state will be able to benefit from innovation happening in Maine, and he points to that mass timber building on the seacoast as an example of what's already going on in New Hampshire. But New Hampshire's wood markets are still dominated by the classics: sawlogs, pulp and paper, wood pellets for home heating, firewood, and still some biomass. And even if new wood businesses do eventually take root in the state, or if regional developments create new markets where New Hampshire can sell its wood, it's not likely to happen for years. Wood market consultant Eric Kingsley is worried the changes won't come fast enough. He says the loss of the biomass plants doesn't just jeopardize around 1,000 biomass jobs, it could devastate the state's timber supply chain, loggers, truckers, equipment retailers, and more.
It's going to disappear before it has a chance to rebound. So we're certainly going to see a loss of harvesting infrastructure that will have to be rebuilt when new markets are identified.
Tom Thompson, the tree farmer, hopes it doesn't come to that. He thinks the state can and should have two priorities at once: building new markets and sustaining its biomass industry.
We have the renewable resource. We just need the markets. I mean, landowners need the markets. If they don't have the markets, they're not going to hold on to their land.
Instead, he says landowners could sell for other uses: housing developments, cell towers. This could leave the state with smaller, more fragmented forests, more vulnerable to further development. It would mean fewer benefits for wildlife, recreation, and the climate. For NHPR News, I'm Annie Ropeek.